Thank you, choir. That was lovely. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So all summer we have read through the highlights from the story of the Exodus. And I use that word Exodus as shorthand for the whole journey of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt all the way to the Promised Land. We spent several months doing that. Now next week, we're going to start a much shorter series on the Reformation and what the Reformation still means to us today. We'll be focusing first of all on Martin Luther and the questions that he had about God that led him to uproot the religious institutions of his time. So we'll be starting with that next week. But today we come to the end of the Exodus journey. It took 40 years to get from one place to the next. They went through a lot of danger. They went through a period of formation and instruction in the wilderness. And all throughout this time, God called Moses to be the one to lead this people during this long journey. Moses is the one who turned aside to see the burning bush. Moses is the one who somehow found the courage to challenge Pharaoh. Moses is the one who stuck with the Israelites despite all of their complaints. He also was the one who spoke with God face to face on Mount Sinai. And now, just as the promises of future in a land flowing with milk and honey are about to come true, Moses is about to die. His time is up. Unfortunately, even the most outstanding leaders must die, and their work is taken over by others. Moses has gotten more and more powerful, it seems, over the course of Exodus, but now his journey is coming to an end. And how on earth is anyone going to be able to take Moses' place as leader? They've got such big shoes to fill. He's been the leader for a people who desperately needed to be led. He has faith whenever they complain. And he is for going onward when they just want to go back. What on earth are the people of Israel going to do without Moses' charismatic leadership? Without his prophetic ability to hear God's voice? Without his guidance and his sense of direction? Are the people going to go back to their old ways? Will they seek security in easier gods and material goods? Without Moses, will the Promised Land really be a place of fulfilled promise? After all, the people are still only human. They are easily led astray. And with a lesser leader, things could go tragically wrong. How can they hope for the future when their leader is dead? And we see in the text how they mourn him. They weep and they observe this period of mourning for 30 days for Moses. Like Moses, the people of Israel will all one day die. We too will eventually die, even though we trust in some parts of ourselves that we will be immortal. Our lives do have a definite span, even if it's not 120 years, like Moses. But our days will end and life will go on in our communities, and we will not be part of it. We won't see how the great conflicts of our day are resolved, and please God, may they be resolved without disaster. We won't see how our grandchildren turned out. We are mortal, and our days on earth are not infinite. So what does the future mean if we are going to die? I don't think the future after us is just hypothetical. It's not just something to be feared rather than celebrated. Is the future all about endings, about the end of the journey, the end of life, rather than about promise and fulfillment? We've got these questions. The Israelites had them too. And the whole book of Deuteronomy tries to give people help in answering these questions. tries to help this people that may be afraid of an uncertain future. The book appeals to them to remember all that God has done, to avoid complacency, and to create a community where the vulnerable and the poor are treated according to God's directions. These are some of the resources that the Israelites are going to need in the Promised Land. They're going to need this book of the law. And particularly, they're going to need the story of all that God has done for them. Out of that story, you see, emerges a sense of unity, a deep feeling that Israel is one single people throughout all of its generations. The passing of time doesn't change anything in how Israel stands before God. All the while, God has been with them. God has delivered them from the dangers of Pharaoh, from the Egyptian army, from the Red Sea. God has been the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of smoke by day, guiding them. God provided manna and quail and water in the wilderness. God taught them a way of life through the commandments and the covenant. Exodus, you see, is really about God's journey, about the divine movement from Egypt to the Promised Land. Moses dies, but God lives on. God will lead them into the future, even as God has been there for them in the past. God will watch over them. There's a hymn in our hymnal. Our choir sang it not too long ago, that says, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, God who has brought us thus far on our way, thou who hast by thy might lead us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Keep us, God, in the path. With the death of Moses, the vision shifts from that journey, that weary journey in the wilderness, to the land that now lies before Israelites. And anything can happen there. And anything pretty much does. They'll go through a time of, first of all, of entering and settling the land. And then they have some experimental leadership with the judges and then the kings, Saul and David and Solomon. Then, unfortunately, the divided kingdom and that deeply painful journey away from Israel, the exile in Babylon. All of this lies before Israel as Moses gazes into the Promised Land. Moses is the last of his generation to die. He must die before the Israelites can go forward into the future. He must die before the Israelites can realize that he wasn't their real leader all along. It has been God at the helm all along. First, God corrects the people in the wilderness, bringing them face to face with their own shortcomings, cleanses them of their sin, and then after that, finally leads them into the Promised Land. And God does that for us as well. Through Jesus Christ, we are brought face to face with our shortcomings, cleansed of our sin, and finally led into our Promised Land. Because you see, the story of Exodus is not just ancient history. It's not just something that happened 3,500 years ago. The story of Exodus is a story that we tell in the present tense. And the meaning of this story deepens as we make it our own. Until we can say, like the Israelites, once we were slaves, and now we have been set free by God. That story is the model for us, and that action of God continues in our lives today. Jesus is leading us into the future. Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. God sent Jesus to be a leader even more important and faithful and charismatic than Moses. It is Jesus who will lead us into our Promised Land. And like the Israelites, we certainly need his guidance because we have never known how to get to the promised land on our own. It's God all along who gets us there, speaking to Moses, speaking through Moses to the people, guiding us, feeding us, liberating us, delivering us. And in his last act of leadership, Moses reassures the people. He says, "Have no fear or dread, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or desert you." And for us who face the future with the same kinds of questions as everyone, the same inevitability of our own personal death, the same concern about where meaning will lie in the future, Moses reassures us. These words are spoken to us. Have no fear or dread, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. No matter what will come to us in the future, God always goes with us. God is reliable and faithful and always present. Thanks be to God for God's deliverance and guidance. The future belongs to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.